Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and today is Wednesday, December 18th, 2024. And we are reading from the Big Book, continuing in How It Works. And today, if you look to the bottom of page 65, the third paragraph is what we'll be reading and commenting on. We went back through our lives and ends with our moments of triumph were short-lived. Today's readers are Anne SCH, who will read the text. Wendy M, A Vision for You, and Deborah L is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Betsy H, and Jody E will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, December 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 22,001. It's 22001. And for this morning, Wednesday, December 18th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, 22003. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan L. to please unmute and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Jan.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you and everyone on the line for their service. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Jan L. And I will now ask Blair S. to please join us and read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you, Blair.
Thank you, Susan. This is Blair S. in California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Blair. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. All right, so today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter How It Works. If you look to the bottom of page 65, we went back through our lives. We're going to read that paragraph through to page 66, where it ends, our moments of triumph were short-lived. And we're now going to go up to Vancouver, Canada, and Anne SCH is going to read and share her experience for us. Thank you, Anne. Anne, star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for prompting me again. I always forget that we are remuted after saying the Serenity Prayer. So we went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. What was first apparent was that the world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse that matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. So for me, this paragraph, I'm reflecting this morning once I knew what this reading was going to be, and I've been following along with all the vision meetings for the past, I don't know, months and months. Over 30 years ago when I first saw step 4, it was like confusing to me. And to me, this particular paragraph is like a misunderstanding between, it's like a transformational paragraph. In inventory, I look at my inventory and there's that piece of me, and I'm thinking more of the past, but I'm now doing it every day. That there's that piece of me that has to wrestle myself to the ground, literally, and bring it to God and say, okay, what was my part? Where was I? I have to be honest here, thoroughly honest. As it says in the second one, we went back through our life. I go back through my day now. and try and look at myself with thoroughness and honesty. And I think because I've come to the place now where I start to understand that part of my confusion and misunderstanding about doing this step and this particular paragraph is being that I had to do it completely before I could move on. Like there was a perfectionism piece of this. And there would be a stall. And the stall would be, any excuse about, well, it was all them and continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. And that's kind of like getting myself on that hamster wheel and not being able to, procrastinating and not being able to misunderstanding that it's not, the instructions in the big book are very clear. It doesn't want me stuck on this hamster wheel. It wants me to just understand that the finger that points out, there's three pointing or four pointing back. And so that there's that piece of, on page 66, to conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. In my own personal experience, I was in that place for decades. And of course, the food was packing on me as I continued to try and work out what was it about, what did I have to do? And even though I considered myself somebody that was of God, in God, a godly woman, it was not working for me. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Anne SCH in Vancouver. If you joined us midway, let me just tell you where we are before I take a lineup of names. Go to the bottom of page 65. We went back through our lives, turn the page, and the end of the paragraph is, our moments of triumph were short-lived. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So when you give me your details, please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country that you're calling from this morning. Right, let the games begin. Who would like to share this morning?
Lisa N., Wisconsin.
Thank you, Lisa.
Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon.
Mary Lee R., Eugene, Oregon.
Wendy M., Boulder.
Thank you, Wendy. Who else would like to join this first lineup?
Stephen G. in Toronto.
Thank you, Stephen. Anyone else? Or we'll start with this group. All right. So I have Lisa N., Marie Lee R., Wendy M., and Stephen G. So if everyone else other than Lisa N. in Wisconsin could mute their line, Lisa, please join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, for your service this morning and everyone else who's making the meeting possible. Sometimes it was remorse. And then we were sore at our. I got to experience that very thing this morning. And when I heard the person who read the paragraph for us this morning read that, it was like, God, he's so good. He's so warning me. He's so telling me, I don't want you to experience this. You don't have to experience this. But because I'm a human being and I'm on a journey, as it were, I had to learn something profound this morning that was painful to me because I was unkind to somebody, and it reminded me of my mother, who I always said couldn't handle the truth, and we were afraid to tell her the truth because how she would respond. And I did that to a family member today. I realized that I was no different, and the humbling is what I need periodically, the intense humbling, I guess. Because I seem to have to repeat things over and over. And I did a 10th step this morning. I talked to somebody. It was very helpful. And I'm so grateful for this program. Yeah, I have to remember that I am just another bozo on the bus. And sometimes I just think that I know it all, and I don't. So I'm very grateful for this meeting this morning. Thank you, everyone who is on the line.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. in Wisconsin. And next, we are going to go to Eugene, Oregon. Good morning to Marie Lee R.
Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. And I'm so grateful that the service that's provided here and the people that continually suit up and show up. When I first went, you know, we went back through our lives, nothing but thoroughness and honesty. Honesty was not easy for me, and continues to have its little learning opportunities. And I did conclude that others were wrong, and that was as far as I ever got in the beginning. And then I realized that by not cleaning that up and by staying angry at those people, that I put them in a position of power, and it definitely blocked me off from the sunlight of the spirit. And so I'm just really grateful that I'm able to uncover, discover, and discard. And it's a continual journey. It's not a one-time thing. And I have a lot of gratitude, and thank you for allowing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Lee R. Sorry, I couldn't read my own writing. Apologies. So that was Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon. Next, we are going to go to Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Wendy.
Hi, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Susan, so good to hear your voice always. Thank you for your service. Okay, so this is honesty, and I thought I was honest my whole life, right? I started this project 25 years ago, and my greatest dishonest thought is that I was honest, right? And I was nice. I was nice to everybody, so I wasn't dishonest. I was just nice. And that was, so, you know, pages 60 to 63, that was one of my strategies to get what I wanted. There were many strategies, right? Like, if I could just exert myself more or blame you more or control you more, right? Like, we have all these strategies. The very first time that I touched upon honesty was doing the fourth step the very first time. And I remember the sponsor in Los Angeles said to me, she said, so you're going to have to write down your resentments. And I was like, oh, that sounds delicious. I love my resentments. They are so tasty, right? Because we don't just binge on food. I binge on resentment. I binge on fear. I binge on blame, right? Like, that's what I've been eating for a living. So the first moment I was honest, it gets us free. Because the moment we name our experience, we get freedom from it. That is what this program does. That's what the inventory does. And then it says, the more we fought and tried to have our own way, you guys, I still do that. Like, this is not about perfect. This is about awake. This is about an honest awake moment where I say, oh my God, I just called someone and said, I just want to get my way. And the worse the matters got, absolutely. You know, because it says on 62, our selfish self-centeredness will kill us. God makes that possible. What? So I have a design for living where when I'm in self, when I'm fighting to get my way and tell you you're wrong, I'm right. By the way, it's exhausting to be right all the time. But when I do that, the worst matters get. God makes that possible, that my life gets worse when I'm trying to get my way. That's kind of how it works. And something that I just want to share that's coming from God to me a lot is that there's nothing wrong with anybody in this room. Like, there's nothing wrong with us. Yes, we have strategies. We have defects. We have behaviors, pages 60 to 63, where we've got to get our way, right? We must do it. And I still have them 25 years later, of course. but I have a design for living. But there's nothing wrong with us. And sometimes in the rooms I'll hear, like, I'm really sick. I'm really, you know, screwed up. I'm the screwed up one. And I played that game. That was part of my strategy, was just to be the identified patient. But it turns out, God's like, you're not sick. Nobody in this room is sick. We have behaviors. Step
that's
four.
That's time, Wendy. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Next, we have Stephen G. in Toronto, Canada. Thank you, Stephen.
Good morning. This is Stephen G. in Toronto, Canada. This is an amazing paragraph. You know, the idea that the world and its people were wrong. That was an idea I held for much of my life. And thank God for the simplicity of the instructions in this big book. You know, when we put these things in the columns, and we've done the first three columns here, we're working our way to the fourth column, which really is the most important. When we put things in columns, we start to see the simplicity of it. In the first column, it's who is it? The second column is what did they do? And when I keep it less than 19 words, I don't create a story. When I create a story, I make it longer. I'm trying to justify my resentment. And when we cover up the first column, we start to see it's really not what they, it's not who did it, it's what they did to me. And then when I cover up the second column, I find out it's not really what they did to me. It's that my instincts of self are distorted. They're very, very fragile. My self-esteem, my feeling of security. And then when we get to the fourth column, we start to see it's actually not the problem with the instincts. The problem is I've set my life up in such a way that I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and frightened. I have a script for how you and the world are supposed to be. Self-seeking is the way I've set up my thinking and my actions so that that script will be followed. The dishonesty is the lies I tell myself about me, about you, about the world, about God. And then the fear is relying on finite, limited human resource to feel safe, which just doesn't work. And I could never have gotten to the fourth column on my own will. And I still can't do it. I need this process. I need others, and I need a fellowship. And it changes everything. And this is such a miracle. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Stephen G. in Toronto, Canada. So before I take the next line up, always a refresher what we're commenting on. Bottom of page 65, we went back through our lives. And we end with our moments of triumph were short-lived. So if today is your third day to speak, please star one, unmute, give me your first name, last initial, state or country you are calling from this morning.
Rachel L.
Go ahead, please. Rachel L. And I think you're in California?
Yes, California.
Thank you. Anyone else? Can't just be me and Rachel here. Who else would like to share this morning?
Ellery B., California.
Okay, coming in hot, California. Let's go. Who else? Anyone joining us from overseas? Anyone? Who's here? Whose third day is this today? All right, well, we won't waste time. We'll keep on moving. So I have Rachel L. from California and Hillary B. from California right now. So we will pause there. And Rachel, take it away. Thank you.
Sorry, can I ask what page we're on?
Yes, we are commenting on the bottom of page 65, starting, we went back through our lives, over to the end of that paragraph, our moments of triumph were short-lived. Rachel L., if you could start yourself, please. Oh, thanks. That was
Rachel,
go ahead.
Compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. So me, I used to tell myself I was honest all the time, and there went my Pinocchio nose growing, you know. And I never thought I was a liar. I never thought I told a lie until I got into this program, and I caught myself in so many lies. So many lie after lie after lie after lie after I told myself, okay, this is going to be my last lie. This is going to be my last lie. And, you know, it was just like, oh, my God, I am the biggest liar ever, you know. And when I finally had to get honest with everything and anything, I never thought I was a resentful person. I never thought that I was a mad person. But when you get off the food, you feel everything. I thought I was going to feel happiness more, but you feel everything more, you know. And everybody's telling me, you know, Richie, you've got really quiet. And I said, yeah, because now I need to watch what I say, because I'm about to say everything, you know. So I, you know, I've gotten very honest now, because I can't lie anymore, because I felt guilt for the first time in my life. It was funny. After I did my fourth and fifth step, my sponsor kept asking me, is there anything else you want to tell me? And I go, nope, nothing else, nothing else. And I'm laying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, tossing and turning. And I didn't know what this feeling was, because I used to eat it away. And I Googled it, and Google said, you are feeling guilt. And I went, oh, my goodness, I've never felt this way before. And I was like, oh, my God, this is guilt? I never want to feel this way again. I guess I need to stop lying, you know. So it's just, you know, these new feelings that I'm feeling I've never felt before, it's just, it's funny, you know. So it's a whole brand new experience. But, yes, you know, the Pinocchio nose needs to stop growing, definitely. And so, yeah, I'm a totally different person now than I was 107 days ago. And, you know, now that I'm not eating the feelings away or eating the lies away, I don't get caught in lies anymore. No one can say, oh, well, Rachel, you said this, or Rachel, you said that, because what I say is true. What I say is the truth, you know. And I don't have to keep up with my lies anymore. That was very exhausting. That was exhausting, trying to say, well, what did I say to so-and-so? What did I say to so-and-so? Well, hopefully so-and-so and so-and-so don't meet up because I lied to so-and-so about so-and-so. So, yeah. But now I don't have to worry about any of that. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel L. in San Diego, California. Next, we're staying in California. Hillary B., please join us. Star 1 and unmute.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your services. And it has been incredibly apparent to me most of my life, and apparent to me that other people are quite wrong, and they make me uncomfortable, and they should listen to me and know the right thing they should say, the right thing they should do, how they should treat me, what they should say to me. I didn't even know I was that kind of a person. I was so blind, because all I did was eat to comfort myself. That's all I knew. I would eat at them, because it was their fault. And every argument I had with the person, every person I kicked out of my life, I did seem to win in the short run, but I suffered from a lot of depression. I suffered from a depression that three different psychiatrists told me I would never get over and would have to take medication for the rest of my life, because that's the kind of depression I had. Guess what? I don't have it today. It's been quite a number of years. I don't take any medication for it. I'm not saying it's true for everybody's depression, but I'm saying that's the dark place I led myself to, trap myself in, that I had nothing to comfort me except food. What else could I do? All these people, they just make me so miserable. Poor me. If you had my life, you'd be eating all this sugar too. And what a revelation it is to see my troubles are of my own making. I get to write out this chart. I'll call it a chart, and see that the world and its people dominated me. The more I fought and tried to have my own way, the more trapped I became. I was like a fly in a spider web. And I do have to see that if I want to hold on to my resentment, I'm getting a payoff from it. I am getting a payoff. The payoff I got was I didn't have to take responsibility for my life. I didn't have to do anything to change me. I didn't have to take any action to get out of the hole I dug for myself. I could just blame everybody else. What a gift it is to see my flaws. What a gift it is. It's not fun. It's not, doesn't feed my ego. It's, I lots of times feel humiliation.
That's time, Hillary.
But I'm free when I can do it. Thank you, Susan, for timing me. I pass.
You're welcome. Thank you, Hillary B. from California. All right, I'm ready to take another lineup of names. We certainly have, we probably have 18 to 20 minutes. So if this is your third day, we would love to hear from you. If you are new, you are
from Alabama.
Sorry, who's your first name?
Linda G. from Alabama.
Linda G., good morning. And I was just saying, if you're new, you are welcome to share. Press star one to unmute. Who else would like to join Robin. Linda?
Robin P., Massachusetts.
Robin P., Massachusetts.
Do you like Tom?
Sorry?
It's Robin P., like Tom. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. That's okay. You were thanked. No problem. Robin T., who
Sorry.
Else would like to join Linda?
Sorry, C. From Connecticut.
Sorry, XB from Connecticut. Anyone else? All right. So I have Linda G from Alabama, Robin T for Tom from Massachusetts, and Suri C from Connecticut. Linda G, please start us off. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Linda G. I'm an anorexic and compulsive overeater and restrictor, and I'm recovering a day at a time. This step showed me that I was coping as a child coped. When I was 3, my brother was born, and I suddenly became a non-entity. I was discarded, and I coped the way a child would cope. I looked to food. It was simple. It was something I could understand. It was something that comforted me. And my emotional growth stopped. I just reached to food and food simply comforted me. And I stayed in that place. I stayed in that place for years. And as I came into program and as I worked the steps, I came to realize that I was using an outdated coping mechanism and I was reacting to the love I didn't get as a child. And it seemed so outdated to look at it now as an adult and to recognize that I can have that love and I can give that love to myself through my higher power. And I don't have to eat over it anymore. I can be free of that curse. And it's suddenly so new to me. The world is a whole new place. Through abstinence, I'm learning that I can be a whole and complete human being. And I can be a person, a whole person with feelings and thoughts and emotions that are acceptable to the world, that I'm allowed to have, that don't get shut down and shut out and shut off by people who aren't capable of understanding or listening to it. My parents were party people. They didn't want to be bothered with a complicated child. And they didn't know how to handle me. They were busy trying to force me into being a little Shirley Temple doll, and that isn't who I was. And I was trying to turn them into being complicated people who could handle me. And that isn't who they were. And it was a tragic situation all the way around. But it's over now. And I can put them at ease. Thank you. Thank you very much for timing me. And thank you for your service. And thank you for letting me share.
Of course. Pleasure. Linda G. in Alabama. Next, we have Robin T. in Massachusetts. Thank you, Robin.
Good morning. Hi, everybody. I'm Robin T., a recovered compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. So, boy, was I angry. And I knew I was angry. I was an angry teen, and it never stopped. From time to time, I could repress it so deeply that I would get depressed. And I was fighting my feelings all the time, and I didn't understand why I had to live this way, but I did live that way. And I continued fighting others, you know, because nobody was treating me with humanity. You were wrong. I was right. And I know the way you should behave. And you should behave that way with me. I was a victim. I was a rescuer. But, you know, now I get to recognize my part. And wow, I have such appreciation for this fourth step, 10th step now, because I'm recovered. But I get to recognize the self-pity, the dishonesty, the self-seeking, the fear. And I'd much rather be happy, joyous, and free than sit in all that muck. Because after all, when I hold grudges and I'm disturbed or pissed off at others, who's suffering? They're not suffering. I'm the one that's feeling it. And on top of that, I don't have fear of the feelings anymore because I can give them away. I do my 10th step and I give them to God. So it makes me feel wonderful to have this freedom. It's because of this big book and all of you. And I thank you and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Robin T. in Massachusetts. Next, we have Suri C. in Connecticut. Good morning.
Hi, this is Suri C. Connecticut, but I'm kind of in New York and looking for some healthy meetings in the New York metropolitan area, if anyone knows of anybody, of any, in the evenings especially. My share. So sometimes happy accidents are part of the process also, and leaning into them can be helpful. I read this and I was floored by my inability to read this correctly, but I'm dealing with my parents right now and it's not easy. And many people have told me I've lost, you know, I can maintain the abstinence. I just can't maintain it when I go back to my parents. And frankly, I'm publicly thanking God, my higher power, for the fact that I have not put on weight while I have been living with my parents these last many months. But yeah, it's a joke, right? Because I read it incorrectly, but my brain read it this way. Parent, top of 66, right? It's a continuation of the word, but I read parent. Parent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. And I just read, parents are often quite wrong. Ha ha. I also am a parent, so I'm also quite wrong. And one of the difficulties that I have with my parents is that they're set in their ways. But I'm not a young person. I'm also set in my ways. I also have my, you know, my character flaws that I'm not ready to let go of, right? I need God's help to let go of them. I need to let go and let God, especially when it comes to food, because I could go between eating way too much, eating way too crazy all over the place, and then not eating, and that's not healthy. Compulsive, and that's why I'm here. I realized that I can either express anger, I can either or I can either lean into compassion. and leaning into compassion for my parents is an opportunity for me to also express more compassion for myself. The more that I express compassion and understanding to them, the more I can also give it to myself. And that is my prayer. And I just want to end by thanking everyone who does service on this line day in and day out. You are rocks. And you are weightless rocks because you are, right, a vision for you. You're trudging this road and leading the way through darkness with a flashlight for us who are still, like myself, not abstinent, but not letting go.
Thank you, Suri.
Please don't let go of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Suri C. in Connecticut, currently in New York. All right, we probably have time for two shares, possibly three. So last chance, star one, my friends. Everybody must have gone to a lot of holiday parties last night. Everyone's very quiet this morning.
Annabelle Z.
Good morning, Annabelle. Thank you.
Kim S. and Idaho.
Kristen Y.
Okay, I've got Annabelle, Kim, and Kristen. I know where Annabelle's from. Kim and Kristen, you will announce it when you speak. So Annabelle, she says Z. I'm going to say Z, and she's in Washington State. Go ahead, Annabelle.
Thanks, Susan. I'm Annabelle Z in Washington State, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And this work is so good. I am, I'm just reading. I read Bill's story again yesterday, and something really hit out to me, and that is that, well, self-knowledge avails us nothing was the line that just stood out to me so much. And I know it's not the fourth step, but the idea of if I look at all the things that people did to me, I'm in big trouble. But even there, I can look at, oh, yeah, I'm selfish. Oh, I know I'm dishonest. Or, oh, yeah, I've got all these fears. Oh, I have all these fears. Oh, what to do? Like, that doesn't do anything for me. I have to work the step. And for me, when I'm working the fourth step, it's sitting in with it and acknowledging in a way that goes, this doesn't work. And it feels so relieving, you know, and I always go into this going, oh, I'm going to find something that I hate. I mean, again, me too. For me, it's kind of a 10th step now, but I go into it thinking, I'm not ready to, you know, forgive this person, so I'm not going to do the work. Or I'm not ready to look at my part, and so I'm not going to do the work. But the action of, and I think it's because, like, invariably, I know that it's going to work. I know that I'm going to be relieved, but I think my brain says, no, you're not. It's going to be ugly, and you're going to be at fault, and that everybody's going to hate you because you're so whatever. And what happens is I just have this peace come about me, and there's nothing like it. And that peace is what keeps me from picking up that bite that my brain says, oh, go ahead. It's fine. You'll be fine this time. And so it's just doing the action. The self-knowledge does not help me. Even knowing that the step works doesn't help me. I just have to do the steps. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Annabelle Zed in Washington State. And next we have Kim. And if I heard correctly, your last initial is S for Susan. And if you can tell us where you are from, please. Thank you, Kim.
Good morning. I'm Kim S. From Idaho. And grateful to be here. Thank you to everybody for being on the meeting and having this meeting available. So to conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. My mom had a retina detachment surgery recently, and I've been caring for her. And she has a lot of difficulty complying with the doctor's instructions. And I just found myself, like, first, it's difficult to witness her suffering, but also getting frustrated because she's not complying with what the doctor said. So I wrote an inventory. I sent it to my sponsor, and I still was feeling frustrated. So this morning, when I spent my hour with God, which I do every morning, you know, I mean, sometimes it can be a little less, sometimes it's more, sometimes I'll spend 2 hours. I mean, it just depends on this, how much time I have. So, and how crazy I am. but when I was praying this morning, and this is why I cannot depend on the mechanics of the program and me doing them, you know, because this is really about God. It's about these steps lead me to God. And so when I was praying this morning, I was like, God, please show me, you know, how to be helpful. And I waited and I trusted, and God showed up in such a beautiful way, you know. And I was writing my spiritual journal, and all of a sudden I saw, you know, how to love my mom through this, and how to speak the truth, but to do it in love, and to not nag, and to not, you know, criticize her, but just to acknowledge that this is something she has to endure short term for longer term results, if she can, you know, keep her vision. And but to do it with grace and with love and kindness, you know, and that is something that is not of me, you know, it's just not of me. So this morning, I guess I just want to praise God for God's goodness, you know, and showering me with that blessing this morning of how to love my mom. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And next, we have 2 minutes. And Kristen, if you could give us your last name and where you're calling from this morning, take it away.
Hi, I'm Kristen Y, and I'm calling from Northern California. Good morning. I'm really happy I can get on this meeting. It's helping me the most of anything I've done so far. And I've only started this journey, I don't know, a couple of years ago, but, and this meeting more recent. So I was not invited to lunch with my family. My brothers are really important to my mom, and that's okay. But I have grief, and I really related to the, you know, eating for the love I didn't get when I was little. And I had also worked, so I was kind of tired, but I went into the store and I grabbed something that in the past I would have, I do really well in the morning, like real abstinent. And then when I get tired and later in the evening, it can go out the window. Anyway, I grabbed something that I would eat in the past, and I just carried it with me, and I prayed while I had to get a couple other things, and I put it back. And that was a first. And it felt amazing. And then I really noticed that if I don't feel a part of, which I think I didn't a lot, that's when I want to eat. And I want to eat at people also. But I just let myself feel the grief, like feel the loss. And to know that, you know, my parents handed me something that was handed them. They didn't know how to do it different either. But to really, I'm becoming my own loving parent and giving it to myself. And so Then I can get out of myself and connect with a higher power. Anyway, thank you so much. I love to be here. Thanks.
Perfect timing. Kristen Y in Northern California. All right. Thank you, everybody. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Yes, of course. Good morning again, Wendy M. Thank you so much for everybody. The shares were phenomenal. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly expose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is. But obviously you cannot admit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until past.